This is the Average Guy Network, and you have found Home Gadget Geek show number 644 with Ed Sullivan, recorded on May 1st, 2025. Here at Home Gadget Geeks, we cover all the favorite tech gadgets that find their way into your home. News, reviews, product updates, and conversation, all through the Average Tech Guy. I'm your host, Jim Costin, broadcasting live from the AverageGuy.tv studios here in a beautiful Bellevue, Nebraska. Spring is in the air. You can sense it in my nose. Ed, allergies for you? You struggle at all with them? I am
a little bit. Hasn't been as bad in recent years, which is good.
Yeah, good for you. I'm hoping it's not a cold. I guess if I took some Claritin or something like that. Not that they sponsor the show or anything like that, but if I took some Claritin and it cleared up, then I guess I would know it's allergies. Is that a sound? Do you think that's a sound recommendation?
Well, I just recommend don't take a COVID test and then you can't get COVID. The only way you can get it is taking that test, Jim.
Oh, that's true. That's true. Well, we'll stay away from the COVID tests. What we hope you won't do is stay away from the show notes. They'll be posted. We'll have a bunch of links this week out at theaverageguy.tv. Big thanks to our Patreon subscribers. If you're one of those and you join us on Patreon every single month, appreciate that. Many of you do. Head out if you want to join the team, head out to theaverageguy.tv/Patreon and join today. And then if you want to use the affiliate link for Amazon, I've got that posted on the front of the site. Just head out and click through that link, upper right hand corner. Just click through it. You'll see there's some verbiage there. You'll see it. Click through it. Doesn't cost you anything. There'll be some Amazon links that Ed has as well.
There's a lot of Amazon.
Yeah. So click through those. Of course, that supports network. So appreciate that. As well. And Brian says that he hopes I feel better. And Brian, I hope I do too. So thanks for saying that as well. Ed Sullivan is with me. Ed, we talked last time, a couple weeks ago, three, 4 weeks ago, whatever it was. You had picked up a new EV. Tell us again what you got. And then I want a 1 month report on that thing. How do you like it?
So what I ended up with was a 2025 Cadillac Lyriq EV, and I think I'm at about 3,500 miles I've put on that and have had no major complaints or issues with it. You know, the one problem I had early, and it wasn't the car's fault. I was going, I think it was just a couple days after I picked up the car, I was going away for a few days, and I thought, you know what? I don't know if I want to put the brand spanking new car in the airport parking because people aren't always careful there. So what I'll do is I'll go to the remote parking and park it away from people and, you know, let's preserve this as long as we can.
Yeah, you got lured into a sense of security, didn't you?
I did because day after I got back, I noticed somebody had put a decent-sized ding in the passenger door. And listen, it's, I guess, the cost of living in this world, but I couldn't live with it that early in the life of the car. So
yeah.
What I did is I looked into paintless dent removal. You know this technology, Jim?
Well, is that where they like massage? They drill a hole and then massage it from the inside.
No drilling, though.
Oh, okay, good.
Although, you know, I think a lot of them use suction cups from the outside. Although, this guy's methodology seemed to involve a torch with an open flame.
Oh man!
And he actually came in behind it, so came in next to the window.
Oh, I gotcha. Okay.
You know, I think the torch was really softening the metal. Yep. And then, so his was more of a push than a pull operation. Okay. But
did he have to take off the panel, the door panels, or no? Okay.
Nope. All right. He said some cars are tricky if they have, you know, anti-theft. You know, they might have something in that door, but this one seemed to work out fine. So, 20 minutes and $200 later.
That's not bad.
No sign of it.
Yeah, it's all gone. And they came from the inside, so it's not like the paint. They're messing with the paint.
No, the paint was yeah. perfect. Yeah, I said to him right up front, because he had given me the quota 200, and I said, don't feel like you have to take more time than it takes just to make me feel like I got my money's worth. He said, I appreciate that. I said,
no, just get it done.
I'm paying for a result, not the amount of time that's being spent. So
yeah, right on. Yeah.
That didn't work out too badly. Then only other thing was a recall.
Yeah, GM issued a recall on it already?
They issued a recall. It might be the stupidest recall I've ever seen, but
why? What was it for?
It was for the wrong directions in the manual for the adjustment of the rear headrests.
Okay, say that again. Say that again.
It was an error in the printed manual on how you adjust the rear headsets or headrests.
Can they just mail that to you, or like?
I don't know what they're going to do, like staple a new page in it or what needs to.
You have to show them the manual and be like, okay, fix this, or they give you a new one.
Say, I haven't rushed into to get
this. You haven't gone out to get it done, huh? Well,
so I don't know if it must be a NHTSA thing or something
that's
requiring them to provide this update. But.
Well, I think that's probably one of those where they got caught in the SOP, standard operating procedure, right? Of whatever. This is what you have to do. And it met a criteria. And they didn't want anybody, you know, whiplash, or they didn't want anybody setting it wrong, or if somebody found out they were in an accident and it didn't protect their neck or whatever. And right. So they're like, well, we issued this recall, and you have to, you know.
Yeah. Brian says many of these electric car recalls are solved with over the air updates too, but. Yeah. You know, this seems to be they have to update the physical manual. I'm sure they've already updated the online doc, but
what if you tossed it? What if you've already tossed it? They just give you the leaflet or what? Well,
I have had a couple over the air updates, so it looks like GM's getting better at those.
Yeah, and I imagine they'll just keep. Hopefully, they'll just keep getting better with this as well, right?
You know,
Well, before the show, Ed, I'm glad that you're liking it so far. Before the show, you had mentioned, and maybe this is a car right up my alley, the Slate Auto.
Seems like for you, Jim.
I think it is. So I don't know if you've seen this yet. If you're listening to the audio, you might want to head out to the video to watch it. But this is a Verge article. We'll get the link in the show notes for it. But it's called The Slate Confirms It'll Build a $20,000 EV. But Ed, there's a catch. What's the catch to this EV?
The catch is that this is bare bones, Jim. Yeah. It does not even have power windows. When's the last time they made a vehicle without power windows?
Yeah. Although,
I believe it's available as an option. So not all the info is out on this yet. I think in the base configuration, what did you see? A 150-mile range?
Yeah, 150-mile. Yeah.
But
yeah,
how far is Menards, Jim?
6 miles.
You see, this could be the one for you.
Now, I think that $20,000 price tag says it's assuming that the federal EV incentives are still in place.
Correct. And these will be manufactured in the USA.
Yeah. In Indiana, I think is what they're saying.
Yeah. Right. Say 1.4 million square foot factory. What you could be there?
Yeah. Yeah. An existing 1.4 million Warsaw, Indiana. Let's see if they say what used to be there. I'll keep reading. I think the interesting, they're slated, no pun intended, slated to produce 150,000 of these trucks. How much of a boutique, like, do you think, okay, with all the stuff, and I'll show the picture here, and then I'll tell you what this reminds me of. With all the fear of recession, with all of the, you know, stuff going on, prices, inflation, you think these are going to get snatched up like real or not, like we did with the Cybertruck. I mean, I put $100 down. I never even seen a Cybertruck yet. I think these would get snatched up.
I don't know, Jim. If you remember, I don't know if these will follow the Cybertruck playbook. What were they saying the Cybertruck was for the base model? 49,000.
Yeah.
And then at the time they came out, you couldn't get one for less than 100.
No, right on.
So I think, you know, if they can keep these under 30, they'll be doing pretty well with them.
Okay. The base configuration is looks like a truck.
Yep.
But you can buy additional, I'm assuming there's all kinds of things you can do to put additional seats or make it look like an SUV, some of those kinds of things.
Yep.
But there's no paint on this thing. It's base model. There's no paint. It's gray, right?
Yeah. I mean, Jim, you don't get amenities for that price, but I think there'll be, I don't know how niche it is, but this will appeal to a lot of folks that, you know, want to personalize the vehicle. So maybe it's aimed at a younger generation. I'm sure there'll be companies, you know, doing all kinds of vinyl wrap things for it.
Yeah, I can see that, I guess.
You know, a friend of mine who's big into 3D printing wants to get his hands on one of these because if you get enough things out there, you end up with a lot of 3D printed stuff that you can print for your truck or your vehicle.
Well, so ironically, as you're talking about printing, Slate will build out their production hub at the former R.R. Donnelly factory in Warsaw, Indiana, a printing press that was once responsible for stuffing your mailbox with catalog pulp from retailers. It shuttered in September of 2023, putting 500 people out of work. And maybe the old printing press can print, you know.
I guess it wasn't crowded with 500 people and over a million square feet.
It's a lot of square foot per person.
It's a lot of square foot for a printing operation.
So this is an article in The Verge. I put the link.
No touchscreen, no radio.
yeah, no, for sure. Kind of reminds me of my first car. Because the truck doesn't have paint, Slate's auto factory doesn't need an expensive paint shop. Mercedes-Benz recently spent a reported $1 billion building a new one. And because the body panels are made of a form of plastic, the factory can skip the massive presses typically used to stamp out metal body panels into shape. Are they printing? Are they 3D printing these things?
Maybe injection molded. Who knows?
Yeah, there's the plant right there on screen.
Wow.
So it's going to employ 2,000 people. Slate would not confirm the total investment in the facility. You know, I mentioned this. It does remind me, Ed, of my first, like when I first bought my first Nissan Sentra. I was in the military. Mm-hmm. I had no money. It's just a car I could afford it. I could barely afford it then, right? They put me, I mean, that thing, if you scratch the paint, it said Budweiser underneath it. And like it was the cheapest. It had a radio, but that was it. No air in there. Now, fortunately, I moved to California and then we didn't need air there.
No.
And when I moved it to Nebraska, I wrecked it the first week I was here.
Yeah.
So ended up buying a car with air. But it kind of, that truck look kind of reminds me of the old Chevy Love that came out in the 80s, right? Where, and all those early Toyota and Nissan trucks, right? That came out super small,
yeah,
really inexpensive. Do you feel like, you know, is this, are we going into a repeat a little bit of the 80s? If you think about the muscle cars of the 60s and 70s, right? Cars got expensive. They got big. Crown Victoria, right? All the big Lincolns. And then there's a rush of small Japanese cars that enter the market in the 80s. Honda, Nissan,
with those
Datsun.
Tiny little wheels.
Yeah, like 12-inch wheels. Right?
I had the 13s. I don't know.
We had to go 55 miles an hour on the U.S. because those cars couldn't go any faster than that. They said, well, we better set the speed limit to 55 on those kinds of things. Yeah, I kind of wonder, you know, this Slate truck kind of reminds me of that. And I wonder if we're going to see a bunch more really low end, cheap cars come out. Maybe the day of the expensive, really expensive car for everybody, like, is over for now. I don't know. What are your thoughts, Ed?
And, you know, I think it'll be interesting to see where the whole tariff thing goes. So if they can make this in the U.S. with predominantly U.S. parts, then they may be well ahead of what some of the competition is able to do price-wise.
Well, and there's maybe there may be some tolerance for sub, which I wouldn't call it substandard, but maybe a disruption in the space. Because it's hard to find a car now that's less than 30.
Right.
You know, and at this point.
Listen, these are not big vehicles. Right. So it's a reasonable thing to get instead of a car. You know, a lot of people don't want to drive a big pickup truck, but they might like to have that bed on the back there. I know you want that.
Great for me. That would work great. A vehicle like that would actually be a, I say that I can't give up my legacy. I love that car. Like, so, but maybe in addition to, maybe that's,
they're cheap enough where you could see some people adding one of those. I mean, maybe Milo will need a new vehicle, and you know,
it'd be a good Milo car, wouldn't it?
But you put the SUV conversion on it, you know. Right. Just listen, we just drive that around town anyway, so 150 miles of range is fine.
Yeah,
for that kind of thing,
that would work.
I think the bigger battery may go up into the 200s or somewhere. So. Yeah. Although it was interesting, they said they're not using LFP batteries, which I thought they would just based on cheaper costs for those. But it may be more a function of battery supplier. I mean, I saw an article last week or the week before that GM has just surpassed Tesla in EV battery production in the U.S.
Oh, wow.
So, well, they're changing a lot of their models over.
Yeah. Yeah.
So we'll see whether that's a winning strategy in the end.
Yeah. It says the 1.4 million square foot slate facility is roughly one quarter of the size of Tesla's Fremont factory, which currently produces approximately 650,000 vehicles per year. Again, Slate hopes to produce upwards of 150,000 trucks annually at this facility, an annual production rate that took Tesla more than 5 years to achieve in Fremont. Given its simplified manufacturing process, Slate will surely be hoping to move more quickly.
Yeah. It
sounds like maybe right place at the right time. You know, they said Slate's committed not only to manufacturing the truck in the U.S., but using only domestic suppliers as well.
Yeah.
And like you said this just a few minutes
ago. Could be a big win for them.
Could be a huge win, depending on where things go. Now, you know, 60 days from now, that it could all be different. So as fast as things change, right, we could have negative tariffs in 60
days. Sure. And listen, even domestic suppliers, it depends on what they're supplying and whether or not there are components still coming from overseas for what they're supplying.
No, right on. Ken says safety concerns, of course, you know, on all EVs, right? If we bring this thing up, come on, there we go. Safety concerns and lithium battery fires in tiny cars, getting in an accident, not fun to put out those fires, not any car, large or small, on that, but certainly less room associated with it. I didn't even think with a smaller car like that, you would just have less room for batteries in general.
Yeah.
Right. And yeah, Joe, 150 miles. Pretty terrible.
Did they say what the longer range is?
I didn't say in the Verge article what it is. I am sure, listen, 150 is not tolerable, but they're trying to get an MVP out on this thing, right?
And yeah, so I think I'm just making up numbers at this point, but I seem to remember the base model was something like 47 kilowatt hours, and maybe the upgrade was to 75 or something.
Yeah.
So, you know,
it would work as a commuter for me. It worked just fine. 150. I wouldn't take it anywhere else for a project truck on the weekends of hauling things from Menards, you know, picking up things at the market basket, that kind of stuff, you know?
0 to 60 in about 8 seconds. So
that's pretty slow. That's pretty slow.
By modern standards.
For sure. For modern EV standards.
But this is not a okay. Yeah. It does say 47 kilowatt hours for the standard and 75 kilowatt hours for the expanded.
Yeah. Well,
yeah.
I don't know. It's this. We went through this in the early 80s, late 70s, early 80s. And I think we're going to see a bunch of these kinds of things pop up. And where, yeah, we're saying, you know, yeah, that's not acceptable. That's not far enough. You're going to have folks who need something and they want to get into an EV. And they're like, you know what? This is, if I can get into this thing for under 40 and I get an EV out of it, you know? So,
I mean, if you get the bigger battery pack and, you know, don't commute more than 100 miles a day, you'll be okay.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm 20. I mean, again, this would be a great vehicle for me. And I love, you know, I could go to some place and have them put a wrap on it.
Sure.
You know, get anything I want.
Personal lines.
Yeah. That's actually, and you know, that wouldn't have been possible if a car like this would have rolled off the lot in 1982. Mm. You're not wrapping the car, right? I mean, that stuff didn't even exist yet. But this rolls off the lot in, you know, 2025 or 2026, let's say.
They're saying 26, so figure 27 if they're lucky. Yeah.
But even in the next 2 years, you had a lot of options to work on this, something like this to make it look, even with no paint, you know, make it look decent. You could probably, even though there's no radio, that gives you some options to custom. I mean, although I don't know if they make those kind of, who's buying car radios at Best Buy anymore, right? I mean, that was the thing for a while.
Right.
You know, they didn't hire Harman Kardon to come in and do the sound
probably not.
These things, right?
It looks like from the picture, I see a very, very smallish digital display in front of the driver.
Yeah. Enough probably to get speed,
battery level.
Yeah. Yeah.
Some warning lights.
Those kind of things, which, you know, may not be, Ed, actually at the end of the day, maybe not a bad idea when we think about vehicle or distractions in your vehicle. Now, all you self-driving people are like, oh, I don't have any distractions because the car drives for me. And I get you. I get you, John Biggs. I get you. I get it. But I don't know. Maybe this is too. Maybe this can be a medium step for some of those folks who don't want the spaceships. Yeah. But, you know, listen, there's a big difference
between
something like this and a $70,000 Tesla. Right. So
right. You can get Teslas for less than that, Jim.
Okay. All right. I'm just being sensational. If I am, leave me a comment down in the comments down below on YouTube and let me know. Maybe we get a few people in this. Ed, when you switched to your, you know, to your Cadillac, did you have to change adapters? Did you have to buy from a charging standpoint? Well, what'd you have to buy?
You know, pretty much all manufacturers at this point have committed to moving to NACS, North American Charging Standard, which is Tesla's, right? I mean, if you've ever looked at, you know, just the plug on a Tesla versus a CCS, you say, oh, that CCS is big and chunky and clumsy, and the Tesla is sleek and beautiful. So I think everybody else had plans, you know, for charging networks and all of that. But Tesla won that game.
Yeah.
And it was a big competitive advantage. So I was somewhat surprised when Elon said he would open the Tesla network. But part of that, I think, was getting some of that sweet Biden infrastructure money. So I think they benefited financially by doing that. Now, everyone was saying, okay, yep, we're going to have it. I think GM said they would have NACS by 2025. However, the 2025s did not include it. Now they're saying 2026 on those. So what that means is, you know, as it turns out, at home, I already had a CCS charger. And, you know, the CCS charger was being used by Milo's car, my dog's car. And then I had a different adapter to go CCS to the Tesla. Because when you look at it, there were a few, you know, it's like all standards, right? Communication standards. There were a few standards around for communication from the car to the service equipment.
All right, right.
As it turned out, though, the CCS and NACS underlying protocols were the same, right? So it really turns into pin mapping at that point. Mm-hmm. However, even with adapters like that one that goes from the Tesla to a CCS port, there's a lot of stuff that has to go into those, right? You need temperature sensors, right? Because it may have a tendency to overheat. And as you keep upping the charge levels, you know, from 150 kilowatt to 250, and then Tesla may be in the next gen doing 350 kilowatts. So you've got to be able to regulate and add a safety shutoff in the case of any too much heat generation. The issue is, I haven't tested this yet with the Lyric. I tested it with Milo's Chevy Bolt, and it worked fine. But the issue becomes with the Tesla superchargers. I mean, Tesla, it was only Tesla, right? All their charging ports were driver's side rear. And the way all of their charging stations were set up is, okay, back in. Mm-hmm. And they have it all aligned so that a fairly short cable will reach driver's rear if you back in. Well, my Cadillac is driver's side front. Mm. So really the only way to charge that at a Tesla charging station is to take two spaces, because you have to kind of park at the one next to the supercharger that you intend to use. I believe maybe in their next version of charging station, they may go longer cables. But in the meantime, it's a suboptimal situation.
Right.
I mean, you feel kind of like a bad person taking two spots, right?
Yeah.
I mean.
Yeah, I can't imagine anybody's a favor.
No. You know, I'd probably just go with a CCS charger if it was in the area, but a lot of those are very unreliable. Mm. You know, you drive out of your way to go to one of those and then find out none of the charging stations are working. So, you know.
Can you run an extension cord? I mean, is this something, can you carry one of those? I hate to carry one of those with you, but can you carry an extension cord in a situation
like that? Tesla says no extension cords. However, there is someone working on one. It's not out yet. That's a company called.
Is this one?
That's the one. NACSDC extension cord. Yeah.
This just sounds crazy.
Well, it is.
It's got to be super thick, right? 350 amps, and it'll handle 500 amps.
So
in boost mode.
You know, you look at the price and you say that's outrageous, but
yeah,
again, they have sensors built into both sides of it. Right. What they have to do, since I don't think these will, well, maybe they've upped it. Last I saw, I thought they were maybe, well, I think they can't really go above 250 kilowatts. Which is not really a problem for me, since my car won't charge at more than 190 kilowatts. That's the max charging speed. So, you know, I got on their notify me list. It'd be, you know, interesting to try one out.
Yeah. And so you'd be okay stopping. This is a ridiculous example because he's way out of the parking zone.
Right.
I think your example would be better where you pull in.
Yeah,
it's on the right side. You need it on the left or whatever.
Yeah.
And so you're able to plug that in and pull it around. You do. I mean, at some point, Ed, I mean, you're pulling an extension cord out of your car each time, I guess, for some charging stations, right?
Sure. And listen, for me, I think in the 4 years I had the Tesla, I charged at a supercharger 5 times. You know, only on road trips. So it's not a big burden for my usage, but, you know, other people, I don't know. It's not going to be a lightweight thing.
No. I wonder how much that weighs. I wonder if they have that in the specs down here. That can't be. I was thinking of the, you know, the cables that I bought a 50 amp cable for the, just 50 amp cable for the house, right? To do the backup power for that. And that's a heavy, that 15 footer is a heavy cable. This thing is 6 to 9 feet, 2 or 3 meters.
Which is a pretty critical difference. 6 for me is a little bit short for what I need. So I'm hoping it's 9.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting that it's 6 to 9 feet. You're like, what would determine that?
You know? My guess is that they're still looking at what all cars are out there and what they need.
That makes
sense. You know, depending on the placement, because mine is, you know, located, I say driver's side front, but it's really just forward of the driver's side door.
Okay.
Right. So from the front of the car, you probably still got 3 feet anyway till you get to that charging port. And now the charger is on the opposite side of the car.
Yeah.
So you either got to drape this over the hood if it's too short, but you know, you got to kind of turn that corner and come back in again. So 6 feet. Sounds short to me, but I guess we'll find out if part of it is that, like I say, Tesla doesn't have any approved. That I would guess this company is talking to them, because if Tesla can get one that they're comfortable with, it's better for Tesla too, not to have all these other manufacturers taking 2 spaces to charge. So we'll see where that one goes. I'm on the notify me list. So,
okay. Do they, any idea how long? It's a heavy cable. It's a heavy cable. Yeah. 9 feet of 350 amp.
Canadian company. So it'll cost more than that.
Yeah. If ever. They may not ship to the U.S. after this.
They might not.
You know what? We're just going to keep it for ourselves. Sorry.
You want one, but you can't have one.
Did you have to, at home, do you have to change anything to make the
No, because I had CCS at home anyway, I just had to stop using the Tesla adapter. So overall, for 99% of my charging situation, I guess I'm better off with CCS just based on what I have at home.
Yeah, the way it worked for you there.
Okay.
You outfitted the inside of the car with some stuff. We're going to roll through this fairly quick.
Yeah, we'll go through pretty quick.
Let me bring these up. One of them, as we were talking about this, I said, you said, I'm going to put a screen protector on. And I was like, you can, they make them for this.
Yeah.
And it's a
curved 33-inch display. So I wasn't 100% sure they made them, but sure enough, they do. I don't know. Maybe they don't last long because they include two of them. Although maybe it's one of those where people often mess it up installing it. So just give them two. We're shipping anyway. Mm-hmm. But I found it. Let's put it this way. I thought it would be a problem, but seemed straightforward.
Easy to put on. Yeah. You wanted to do it. You smoke cigars in your car.
Yeah.
And those things absorb the flavor, so to speak.
Well, yeah. And you do over time end up with a film on the screen. Yeah. None of them like you using particularly harsh cleaners on these screens. So I end up putting a screen protector on and then, with the screen protectors, fine to squirt the Windex or whatever you need to get it clean.
Yeah, get it clean and wipe off. Maybe some cloth on there. What about you? Also, we'll look at here a retractable cargo cover. Didn't come with one for a Cadillac. Did not
come with one. They changed it around this year. I think you have to be. Mine is a luxury 2-level. You have to get to 3-level. In order to get the privacy or cargo cover. But, I think the Cadillac one was 200 and some odd bucks. And, often I end up taking it out of there anyway, just if you have taller items to put back there.
Had become a popular item in some big cities because folks were breaking the windows and grabbing stuff right out of people's cars. At least this covers a lot of it.
I have the cover installed. I haven't really looked, but the rear windows are a pretty dark tint. I'm not sure you could even see in there very well.
Yeah, yeah. So, I don't think they were caring. I think they were just breaking windows to
just see what's in there. Yeah.
Just see what's in there. And that's it's a nice feature on there. I was a little surprised that it says does not fit your 2006 Honda Civic here.
Would it?
No, it would not. It would not fit that at all.
I don't know. Do you need to update that? You don't have that anymore.
I do need to take it away. You're probably right. I probably need to
update your Amazon garage, Jim.
Can I go in there, enter a license plate, a new vehicle? Apparently, I can't delete it.
Might have to manage it.
Yeah, I better not do that. Yeah, let's keep talking about your stuff. You've got some accessories in there that you need. I mean, I think of some of the things that you're keeping, cigars or lighters.
Yeah, and just, the center console on this is just a very deep, vast space, right? So it makes more sense to have something. And I had bought one for the Tesla as well. Then you've got a way to organize things a little better and still have the deep space below that. Yeah. See, if you look at that's not very useful for stuff in that you want to find.
Yeah. What we're looking at, and I have this kind of a similar thing in my Subaru, it just goes deep and then it's a weird space and you end up just throwing cables and garbage and napkins and
all those. The problem is you think there's something in there, but you can't possibly find it because there's so much stuff. You might find a Cheeto or a Frito or something. Who knows what you're going to find in there.
You do the Lego crunch as you're going through there. So this kind of flattens it out, gives you some compartments to kind of work with. Now, here, this is interesting. It's got a little coin. It's so funny when I see these kinds of things. Do you still have coins in your car? Does anybody keep change in their car still? Do you, Ed?
I might have some quarters in there, but I haven't come across a parking meter that takes them in years now.
You have an app, right? Everything's an app.
Yeah, the problem is they have a couple different apps and you get your parking space and the app doesn't work, so you don't know if you're getting a ticket or what. Yeah,
for sure. Fortunately, Omaha, we have one parking company, and it works out pretty well. Any thought, we're showing in here, it's got a spot for your phone. It's got a hole for the phone, I'm assuming a phone charger to come up.
Yeah.
Any thought to getting wireless charging like you had in the Tesla and something like this? So you'd plug it into that and it would just give you wireless charging?
They do have wireless charging in the car just of that. So
good enough.
No particular need for it.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. What about you also talk about another organizer?
Yeah, this one, I got to say, I don't quite understand what their design theory was on this, because you can see the center console armrest extends out, and then it's just a big empty space down below.
Yeah.
So without that organizer in there, it's just flat space.
Is it carpeted?
It's got a felt.
Like a felt, okay.
Kind of lining on it. I mean, I don't know. I saw people speculate it was for purses or...
Yeah.
Shoes. What? I just like having a little bit of separation down there.
Yeah.
You know, so you can put some things without them rolling all over the place.
What is this on fire down here? What are they... What are they
trying? I have no idea what.
That's showing your money on fire, or is it? I don't understand that picture. What's going on there? That's hilarious. I don't know. That's like, it's all, they just have this bubble with something on fire. I mean, maybe the other pictures. Here's a good all silicone, depending on how you pronounce that.
Yep.
I'm assuming it just lays in there. Nice to have that, because you can
play in there.
Yeah, you can throw stuff in and it's not going to roll around.
Yeah.
You know, that my dad, I don't know about you, but my dad could not take anything moving in the car. Like,
I don't like rattles and things, you know.
Yeah. 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 If anything in his world was moving
around,
he would first, he'd lose his mind and yell at all of us like it was our fault that the thing was moving around. Where's that thing? Where's it? I hear, he'd be frantically looking for it. It was a penny or a peanut or something. You know, he could hear
sure.
it rolling around. He just would not. He would not.
No. And then it'd probably be almost crashing as he reached back to try to find out what's happening and what's rolling around.
Oh, for sure. Just losing his mind. My dad was a fun character. Hey, often when we talked about cigars, and we know we've had you on here talking about cigars, we often think about smoke. You smoke in the car.
I
think sometimes when we think about the ashtray, we get this 70s ashtray right in the cars.
Right.
I mean, in the 80s they kind of disappeared. They were there for a while. I think it took a while to get the button, the push button,
the lighter itself
out of the car. Cigarette lighter stayed, and we still call it that, which is hilarious. Yeah.
They're still in there.
But finding a ashtray that doesn't necessarily suck. Or does, maybe. And talk a little bit about this one.
This is aptly named Stinky Cigar Car Ashtray. But this one, I've owned these before. I figured new car, new one. It's made out of, I assume, aluminum. It is a stainless steel ashtray cup. I'm not sure it's really parts of it are stainless. But it really looks like a little trash can, but fits right in the cup holder. And then the lid flips open, and then it has a nice little rest and holder for the cigar, kind of a spring-loaded thing. And they work remarkably well, because if you're a a car smoker, what you don't want is a lot of ash and cigar butts sitting around, because that adds a lot more odor. But this one, it's easy enough. You just leave it in there and shut it. Elevate your environment.
So, I don't know if there's any elevating happening after you started doing this, but at least control your environment for
control
sure.
It. So
yeah.
I found these to be quite good, stay in place well in the cup holder.
Well, and hold that cigar so that it doesn't go rolling around.
It's flying around. Yeah.
Unless it's a box pressed, and then you can just set it right on the dashboard. Right.
That would have driven your dad crazy with lit cigars rolling all around.
He would have not. I'm trying to remember if he smoked them in the car. I don't think he did. No, maybe he did. I can't remember.
And back in the day, the people would just flick the ashes out the window and then toss it out the window.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
I prefer not to be throwing things out my window.
Yeah. Yeah, that's good. That's good of you.
That yeah.
Although a cigarette filter, I think, is a little bit different than a cigar butt. I mean,
yeah. If I'm out in nature and the cigar has gone out, as long as there's no band on it, it's a pile of leaves.
Yeah. You could probably just with your finger and thumb, right? Just mix it up into a
biodegradable.
You know, I've been telling you, as we've been enjoying a cigar on Sundays, I've been telling you I need to get a cigar holder for
this
shred. And if I just got one of these, and then what I could close it in the shed, and it would keep.
Sure.
It wouldn't be stinky. And I mean, it's still stinky. You're still smoking in there, so it's still stinky.
Well,
but maybe give it a try
for the shed. Sometimes, you know, if people are potentially leaving the area while the cigar is not yet out, a lot of people get those really small metal trash cans. You know, they're almost a bathroom size metal outdoor trash can, and put it in and just put the lid on it and you're fine.
Yeah.
Probably other people use them for fireplace embers and the like.
I see a lot of folks who have a fireplace using those small cans. We have, you know, my kids made me ceramic cups when they were in high school or whatever.
Yeah. And
we just can, you sent me an ashtray that I still use on the deck. That's the deck tray. And the kids have some, they didn't know. Listen, when you and I were kids, we would make ashtrays for our,
I was going to ask you if you're still of that age. You'd go to summer camp or something and they'd have you make ashtrays for your parents.
Yeah, for your parents. Yeah.
Like, they needed them.
Oh, for sure they did. At least one would be smoking, right? And so you would, you know, you make an ashtray. Now, my kids were making cups, but they turned out to be perfect size for just a little cup ashtray.
This week, all the people decided that I'm older than dirt, Jim, because they were talking about, well, when you got milk at school, did it come in the little carton? Did it come in a plastic bottle? Mine were glass.
Oh, you are old, Ed. Wow.
We had a local dairy called Glennie's, and, you know, they were single size, you know, same shape as the old-fashioned milk bottles, and when I was a kid, they still did home delivery, so you could just order milk to be delivered to your house.
Yeah, yeah. Now, you didn't have glass at school to drink milk out of.
Yes, we did. They were small glass bottles.
That's crazy. Did you throw them at each other? Did you have trouble breaking things and people cutting their feet?
If you remember the old milk bottle, it was a heavy glass.
Yeah, they were hard to break.
Yeah.
They were hard to break. Yeah. I'd like to have some of those to put whiskey in now and, you know, put a cork or a synthetic stopper on the top. They'd make great whiskey bottles.
Yeah. This is the week to feel old. You probably have no knowledge of this, Jim. Do you remember smudge pots?
No. Mm-mm, no.
Okay. These were used back in the day, Jim, in the Dark Ages, when they were doing road construction. These would be little round balls that look like a cartoon bomb.
Okay.
And they were filled with kerosene with an open flame. Oh, yeah. I mean, this is back in the day when they'd just take a big hole in the middle of the road and just put some of these things here.
If you fell into it, they're like, you deserve to fall into it. If
Didn't you see the flames? I don't know.
No, I don't remember those. I grew up in California. We were a little more cautious.
Well, you might have been more advanced.
Yeah.
You might have had reflective material.
I did have reflective material.
Yeah, yeah. This predates that.
Yeah, that was. We had Sarah and I were just talking about this the other day. She said she misses driving in California in the rain because all the roads have a reflective, you know, whatever.
Yeah, but in snow country, they don't stay in place for very long.
No, I was always surprised. We go up to Tahoe, and they didn't have them up there. And I was like, oh, the streets always seem so plain up here because of the snow plows, right? And not having a snow plow in San Jose, where I grew up, I had no idea to even exist. It wasn't until I got to Germany that I realized,
they don't have this everywhere.
They have snow plows. Ed, inside your car. Okay, so since we just talked about ash, you got to keep the inside of the car clean, right? And so what'd you pick up? What'd you pick up for that?
You know, I think last car I had a Black and Decker rechargeable, but then you'd have to take it in the house when it runs out. And it was much bulkier than this unit. This is it's got a V8 in it or something. This is a small USB rechargeable vacuum. And it actually has pretty good suction power on, you know, it's got two levels to it. But for for just stray ash, the low level is perfectly fine. It's got a number of attachments, and one feature of it that I like is, you know, it blows the exhaust air out the back of it. So some of those, you can actually put those attachments on the back and use it as a blower, because, you know, in cars, you always end up with something next to the seat rail.
Right.
And a tiny little space that you can't get a vacuum into. It works to just blow whatever the debris is out of there and then suck it up with the vacuum. So I've been pretty happy with this. And this one is good for anybody that may end up with messes in the car.
Yeah. I mean, think about the kids and, you know,
the Cheerios and the goldfish.
Or just the dust. I you know, I find it crazy how fast your car gets dusty.
Yep. It really does.
And one of the things I hate is cleaning the windshield from the inside. Like Sarah's good at that, although her hands aren't as good as they used to be. And so it hurts her hands to do it. But the cleaning that, you know, you get that kind of film of muck.
Yeah,
inside
80,000 RPM motor. Oof!
You look at that. Be careful to keep your fingers out of the way there. It's interesting because, as we talked about, this picture here gives you a really good idea of the size of that.
Yeah.
When you see this picture, I'm thinking that thing's the size of a pencil.
No
kind of deal. And
it's not crazy large, but it probably
does it have a case where all the stuff goes in,
all the accessories? Yeah, it comes with a case for all the accessories. So I've been happy with that.
How often do you have to charge it?
How long have I had the car? A couple months. I probably charged it 3 times.
Okay. Yeah.
You know,
and does it have some light indicators of
it does, but you know, usually I'll just start thinking, well, it's been a while since I charged this, and just top it off.
Yeah, plug it in and get it going.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's got me thinking about keeping one in my car for the various times, you know, you need to clean for something.
Dirt emergencies.
Yeah, clean something up. Clean something up in there. So
yeah, I don't know. Pet hair is a whole different world trying to get pet hair off of things.
Do you take you wouldn't use something like this with Milo's car, would you? Just take it to the car wash and use their vacuum?
Sometimes I've used the home vacuum or I've got a Dyson handheld that's got good power to it. And even so some of the hair just wants to cling to carpet fibers.
Yeah, it's hard. You got to get in there or have a comb.
Yeah,
you know that you go with. Okay, one thing before we wrap this up, has to do with tires. So, you pick up, you know, sometimes do I need
tires?
Those tires. Well, you have to have, whether you have an ICE car or an EV car, you got to have tires.
Yeah, these ones are on this car are theoretically self-sealing. Who knows?
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
For small punctures, but I do like to have an air compressor anyway. And again, I don't know if I was brand loyal. I've got an old Black and Decker one that plugs into, you know, AC power that I've used for the cars when I'm adding tire pressure at home. But this one I thought is a great one to keep in the car.
Yeah.
This is a USB rechargeable air compressor. It's not terribly large. In fact, I've got it right now in that bottom cavern of my center console. So
yeah,
it's not a big unit. And for me, then it's still easier, even if I'm just adding air at home, mm-hmm. It's easier than having to plug something in, you know, this is portable, just take it to where the car is and it's got a gauge so you can read the level and then set the level that you want it to inflate to.
Will it let air out if the tires are overinflated?
An air letter outer?
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know if it's got that sort of a feature.
Yeah. Well, I kind of wonder. I had mine I inflated them for the winter, and now as spring is coming up, they're probably a couple pounds over where they should be. Like they want them at 35.
Sure.
They had been down to 32 in the winter, so they added some air, and then now they're at like 40.
You mean the air pressure changes? Would that work happen in footballs too, Jim?
No. Especially not to Tom Brady in any form or fashion.
No. All right. I'm just checking.
It's a good thing. It's a good thing that you're checking on there.
Yeah. It's got the attachments too in case you want to inflate your basketballs or sports equipment. It's got the adapters for bicycles. Oh yeah, and that looks like the adapter for the big inflatable things like inflatable beds and that sort of thing.
Yeah, so you have to wonder, like, if you had plugged, say, like you got a big tent, inflatable tent, like some of those play areas. Like, I wonder how long this thing could run and how hot it would get, right? Before you burn it up. I wonder what the running specs on this thing is. $80 ish or so, not bad. To I have an air compressor in my garage that I bought for nail guns and some of those kinds of things.
Right.
And it is kind of, you got to grab it, make sure it's aired up, drag it out, fill it up. The attachment where I actually hook it to the tire, to fill it up, it's got a gauge on it, but somehow the gauge broke. So it's like 40 pounds off. So I'm like, okay, everything's plus 40, when you're checking it, I could probably get a more accurate one.
Yeah. I haven't checked how accurate this is yet. Mm. I've got a pretty good digital tire gauge just to take the readings.
Yeah.
you know, because on the old Black and Decker, it was just a needle that kind of, you know, you'd have to go 10 PSI beyond it because it would go back after you turn it off.
So this
may make all of that a bit easier to learn.
When do you think, like, most times when tires go flat, you have self-healing tires, but do you think you'd find yourself in a situation where you would, if the tire went flat, you would just take this out, reinflate it, and it would give you enough to go somewhere to get it fixed? Is that the,
potentially if it's a slow enough leak? And, you know, you could always carry some slime if you want, right?
Yeah. Well, I was a little surprised. You said self-healing. I don't know one person who, this is slime puncture repair sealant, right?
You don't know anybody who's ever had it work?
No, who said that it was a good idea. Like the tire repair guys are like, I'm not fixing your tire.
I'm not touching that now.
You put slime in here? No, never.
Yeah. This is only to be used in the direst of circumstances.
Yeah. You know, have you had to use it before?
I've never used it.
Yeah, me neither.
No, people don't. Well, tire guys hate it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they've sensed you've used it. They're like, we're not going to fix your tire.
I'm not going to talk about how long it's been since I had a flat tire because that'll jinx
me. Don't do that. No, don't do that.
Let's just say this. Back in the old days, it was a very common occurrence. Not so much anymore.
Yeah, it seems like. Why do you think that is?
I think better tire technology.
You're probably right.
Is a lot of it.
And yeah, you're probably right.
I don't know. I don't know about you, but in the 70s, we didn't worry about tread depth or anything. It was just, I don't know. Okay. Can you see any metal coming up through that tire?
Yeah. Just run it till you can't run it anymore.
Right. And, you know, when you had your old junker as a high school or college kid, if you had a tire problem, you just went and bought a used tire.
Yeah.
It wasn't even, you know, the same kind of tire or anything.
But
it fit on the car. It's a good one.
Good enough. Same size. Okay.
All right.
Same size. Different brand. Doesn't matter. Tread, it's okay. Just it'll get us there. We just have such different standards for cars today. I've said this a bunch of times. I may have said it here. I'm sure I have. You know, people complain like, oh, cars are so expensive to own and they've gotten so expensive since I had to buy one in the 80s or 90s or whatever.
Yeah.
And I'm like, yeah, but the car you get today, the average basic car you get today is a spaceship compared to
the old ones. Didn't go up to 100,000.
Right.
They rolled over to zero.
Yes. Yeah.
None of them lasted that long. No,
they did. We had a Plymouth Satellite wagon growing up, and man, when that thing, it did hit 100 barely. And I remember thinking, man, we got all our money's worth out of this thing, you know? And now, I mean, it's now 200 is kind of, there's not a lot of cars that make it to 200.
I think nowadays you can get anything to make it to that mileage, depending on what you want to spend. Yeah. Right. So usually once you're at 150, I think a lot of cars start to cost more than you may want to put into it.
I think if you maintain them, I think they can be fairly, I mean, I think they go away. So, I mean, I got 250 out of that Honda, but here's what I think happens, Ed, is guys like you and me buy them new, whatever. We baby them or take care of them till they're, you know, maybe in the 70s or 80s. And then we trade them in, do something different. That gets sold to the next group of individuals,
right,
who kind of take care of them, but maybe not as much, right? Yeah. So they get maybe another 60, 65, 70, and then they start to have problems. And then they move those down to someone who literally does not give a crap about the car. then no maintenance is being done. So between 165, 170, and 200.
A lot of dead cars.
Yeah, they just flame out. They just flame out at that point. I think it says as much about the way we treat those vehicles.
Yeah.
You know, as or the expectation. You know, it's funny. You buy a new car, you baby that thing, right? You're just like, oh, I'm going to change the oil and I'm going to do all this stuff. But you buy a $5,000 car or a $2,000 car, you're like, I'm not putting nothing into this. I'm going to run it without oil. I don't care. I don't know. That's my thought.
Yeah, you're right. In the later life, after it's been handed down a couple of times, people don't do oil changes. They just add more oil.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like it's running out of oil. I should put some in it.
Uh-huh. Change the filter and just add a little more oil to it. You're like, man, 90% of that oil is brand new. I just put it in. I just
cycling it through there.
No, right on. Well, Ed, thanks for coming back. I wanted to cover some of those things that you had put in there. I'd love to hear from you, the listener, of your favorite accessories that you're putting in cars. What's the most important? What can't you live without? What maybe is unique to you? What have you found that works out really well? Do you put slime in your tires or not? Is that something you do? Or do you put the Lucas oil treatment to plug the oil leaks, you know, those old snake oil ones, or
You can dump in the radiator.
Yeah, right. radiator leaks. You're like, oh, that'll never work. I mean, that'll never leak. I mean, work again. So let me know. Jim@theaverageguy.tv. You can send me an email, drop it right down there in the comments on YouTube as well. Love to hear what you can't live without in your vehicle. I tinted the windows on my Subaru.
Oh yeah.
That's
all you ever did.
I think that's all I did. I'm a stock guy.
Yeah.
I'm just a stock guy.
But you're a fan of that ceramic product. You and I use.
iTech. Did you put that? I don't think you put that.
Yeah, it's down there.
Did you? Let's see if I
scroll down.
Hold on here.
Ceramic. It's under the slime, Jim.
Okay, hold on. I brought all these up in advance, so.
Oh yeah.
Well, that's the problem here. We'll go back to it. Talk a little bit. Yeah, one real quick, because it's really just a rub on. You know, you just wash your car. Ceramic. Oh, you know what? I didn't click on it. So here I'll bring it in. I love this stuff. This stuff is awesome.
And yeah, it's not inexpensive. However, I've found you can probably go 18 months between treatments on it.
I need to do one right now.
Probably not 2 years, but
yeah.
I've gone 18 without a problem. It says 6 to 8 applications per bottle, which is probably not quite true. Maybe it's 3, I would guess, but maybe they're putting it on tiny little cars. I don't know.
Maybe on that new slate car.
Yeah.
Well, you don't need it because it's plastic.
I mean, what I liked about this is it just very easy to apply. Yeah. You know, it doesn't take the elbow grease of using old-fashioned paste wax.
Right.
You don't end up with the remnants of paste wax lying around. And like I say, I think it lasts much better than a wax does.
Yeah.
Water beads up nice for, like I say, you might get 2 years out of a...
Yeah. Yeah.
But I haven't put it on the Green Hornet yet, Jim. That's the name of the Cadillac, the Green Hornet. But, they had it all waxed up nice.
Yeah.
When I bought it, so I'll probably, you know, go through the summer and get some on it before the winter time.
I think it's a good idea.
Actually slides off easier.
It does. Yeah. I take it to the car wash, and get it washed and dried, whatever. It doesn't matter. Yep. It's just a standard wash. Then I bring it home and hose the car down again and then put this on wet. And you just put it on and just
wipe
and
it.
Wipe it off. Yeah. And it just, I'll need a new, my sponge has gone.
It's applicator.
Gone, yeah, the applicator has gone missing on this thing.
Well, it is a pretty thin and flimsy. It's not very good. It is a sponge, essentially.
I'll go to AutoZone and just pick up a sponge.
I think you'll be fine.
Okay, to talk about the difficulty with inflation, right? Okay, so $40 this thing is right now. I bought this. You and I were talking about this back in 2021, and I ordered it then. Let's view the order. Let's see how much it was. $30 back in 2021. So it's gone up a little bit in that.
But in time. I mean, I get it really isn't terrible when you think, okay, well, if you get three treatments out of it or four, you know, that's not bad.
I think you get four. I think you get four. Yeah. I will probably do that maybe for this weekend. I think the weather's going to be kind of nice. It's good. Always a good reminder. I think I did it. I think it's been 2 years. I think I did it in a spring or maybe a fall a year and a half ago, I think is right before. Yeah,
it's funny. It's one of those things that you end up thinking about for a long time. And then after you do it, it's like, oh, that was easy. Yeah. You put literally. It on longer than you need to.
And then just wipe it on. You can do it on your glass.
Wax off.
You can do it on your glass. Right. Wipe it around. They just say wipe it around. That's kind of the instructions. Wipe it around. It actually does hold up really well.
Yeah.
So I'll have the link to that in the show notes as well. Ed, thanks for, it's always good. That's always the last, a good last car tip of keeping it clean, keeping the water beating off of it. Does a nice job in the rain and protects the paint as well. You can spend all kinds of money on ceramic covers and stuff like that. That's still good too. If you want to do it that way, that works out pretty good as well. Ed, can you hang around for a second as I close?
I sure can.
Okay, a couple reminders on the way out. Next week, Gavin Campbell is coming in. We're going to talk about his home power upgrade. So he went from 100 to 200 amp service. Am I saying that right? Amp?
Yeah.
200 amp service in his place.
You are off your game. You're like Mr. Electricity.
I know. Usually I'm right on it, but tonight I'm still feeling a little sick. So Gavin's going to come on. He's got some great pictures. It's going to be fun. I geek out when it comes to those to power panels, to your electrical panel. So that'll be a fun discussion. I'm sure we'll talk some home automation.
Well, tell him to get an EV. He doesn't like them, but he has plenty of power now.
He's set and ready to go. Yeah. He's set and ready to go. So Gavin's next week. Week after that, Mark Robson is here. We'll talk barbecue and grill show. So that's coming up. The 22nd, I'm actually doing an interview on Monday, next Monday. I looked at this. I thought, oh, crap, did I miss that interview? No, it's this Monday. That will play in on the 22nd. Doug Milburn's going to join us. And so we've got a special interview. I'm doing one of those again where I interview during the week, and then I'll bring it on Thursday. I'll be here, so you can join me. TJ Huddleston is joining me on the 29th. Kevin Schoonover on the 5th of June. And then we rescheduled Uyghur for the 12th. And then Dave Hamilton from Mac Geek Gab is going to join us on the 26th. So we got a full slate.
Yeah,
not bad. That's not Dave Garoppolo full. Cigar Authority, how long out does Dave have his guests planned?
I have a calendar to the end of this year.
Wow. Okay.
There may be two or three dates that are not filled yet. But, this is the time of the year where we have a lot of guests. You know, the cigar people are all warm weather people. Yeah. So they don't come visit us in the New England winter. This is the time of year where they all come and say hello.
Well, if you want to get more of Ed, you can catch him on Cigar Authority. And he's there every Saturday right after Ask the Podcast Coach. Like right after we end at 11 and you guys start, we hand it off to you.
We start at 11 your time, noon my time.
Yeah.
It's really the same. That's how time zones work.
Is that how it works?
Although
I'm glad we went through that. I'm feeling a little.
After this weekend, they won't catch me for a couple weeks because I'll be in Europe.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
Little vacation.
Yeah, where are you headed to again?
Budapest, then Vienna, and then Prague.
Nice. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, that'd be good. Good for you.
Yeah, I hope it'll be good.
I'm sure it'll be great. I'm sure those Europeans will be mad at you at all. Just tell them you're Canadian.
Well, I'm going to sew a Canadian flag to all my clothing.
Yeah, they won't be mad at you. I'm sure it'll be fine. I would get a Canadian headband. And I might dump maple syrup on me.
I'll just carry a can of that around with me.
And then make sure you have a good Tim Hortons cup.
Yeah.
You know, like one of those permanent ones, and it has to be all coffee stained so that they know you're a Tim Hortons regular.
You need the can of maple syrup because that's authenticity.
That's true. That's true. Yeah, that is true. One last, Joe jumped into chat. One last thing before we go. He said, I had a lawnmower that had the tires would go flat over the winter. They sat flat and cracked the sidewalls. I got another 2 years out of them by using a cheap tire sealer.
Now, that's a good use of it.
Yeah, you're probably right. Yeah. Don't you have to put it in and then like roll the wheels around so it coats it?
I never even read the directions.
I think you do. I think you put it in and then you have to roll the wheels around or something like that.
Yeah. I mean, it's in the same category as a fire extinguisher. You know, at some point it probably expires, but.
Yeah. What did I have? Oh, I had a can of window and door sealant, you know, that you would spray, you know, the foam spray you'd put around the door. And I had had these windows. I finally paid the contractor that did the bathroom and the kitchen to put the windows that I bought 3 years ago in the case, right? So I had at that time I had bought a window and door sealer to go around it, and it expired. And those things go bad. Like if you go to shake them, they're all. Yeah. It's just solid.
You had good intentions, but they expired.
It's like, you got any sealer? You know, you got any foam? I'm like, oh yeah. I grab it. He shakes it. He's like, yeah, this is expired. We look at the date. It expired in 2022. It's like, oh, okay. I guess I've had this sitting in the closet for a while. So, yeah, Joe says one, Ken, thanks for hanging out with us tonight. I appreciate that. And then Joe says, it was so bad. There was grass stuck to them from the crab. Sure. That green stuff was coming out of the cracks. Right. Oh, good stories. Well, we're live every Thursday, soon to be, I think, starting this week, 7 p.m. I think we're going to move. I'm going to try to move permanently 7 p.m. Central, 8 Eastern, out here at theaverageguy.tv/live. I'll have to talk to Gavin. I think he'll be set for that. The last time I had him on, he had a meeting, so he had to start at 8.
Yeah.
So I'll see if I can get 7. Just watch the Discord if you're watching live. I'll let you guys know. But we are live every Thursday, and come out here and join us. Thanks to all those who came out tonight. Ken, Joe, I saw Brian a little bit earlier. He had to take off. Thanks for being a part of the show tonight. Ed, thank you. And with that, we'll say goodbye, everybody.